You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Hey, welcome to Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. And today, the first thing that is really getting under my skin is the edict that Nancy Pelosi has charged us with. I am appalled by this. The Capitol Police are ordered to arrest staff and visitors not wearing masks after a Newhouse mandate. Nancy Pelosi has ordered the Capitol Police to start arresting visitors and staff who refuse to wear a mask on the House side of the Capitol complex starting Thursday, according to a police memo. This is unbelievable. Yesterday, she called anybody not wearing a mask a moron. And I just want to clarify that, not a Moran, but a moron. Okay. this is unbelievable. So what does that mean? Does that mean like, if I go and I visit, I'm a visitor and I'm going to be a tourist and I'm going to check out the House side of the Capitol and I don't wear a mask, even though if I've been vaccinated, I'm going to be arrested. Is that going to go on my record? Do I have to hire a lawyer? And who's going to do it? Who's going to arrest me? I guess the Capitol Police, because what am I, a masked terrorist? I don't
You're
understand.
You're an unmasked terrorist.
I'm an unmasked terrorist. This is just going so far. They're wild. They are going wild with rules and regulations and control of us.
Well, clearly Nancy Pelosi is suffering from a brain freeze from all of the gourmet ice cream she's been eating.
Right.
I think she's been wearing a mask too long, but they are quite trendy. They match her clothing all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Green and Massey are suing her over $500 worth of fines that they've gotten for not wearing the mask, because they're purporting that the Office of the Attending Physician of the Capitol Hill has no authority to fine members or deny their vote for mask wearing. So the Republicans are fighting back and they're trying to, because it's all a ploy to get them from being on the floor.
Well, how does it get them from being on the floor?
Well, because if they're arrested and cited, because a lot of them are saying to stay home.
Okay.
Yeah, for the staff and stuff to stay home. And if they're being harassed and everything, it's just going to be, it's just creating that Karen attack me in Starbucks for not having my mask over my nose.
Right.
That we've all been dealing with for 18 months, you know, it's finally rolling uphill to the Capitol. And, you know, I don't think they're going to stand for it. Clearly, these, you know, Taylor Greene's pretty rowdy and some of these other gals are, you know, we're starting to get some rebel rousers in the GOP and they're not standing down anymore.
Well, I'm happy for that.
Mm-hmm. We definitely need we need some powerful women in there. We do. We need our own squad. That's what I think. I think I'm going to run. What about you, Jean?
Oh, wow. There you go. There you go.
I think we should all run and make our own squad. That would be all the Ladies of Liberty should run.
I think so. I do. Although I'm scared for my children. Isn't that sad? When I think about it, I'm scared for my children. That they would be attacked by the other side. It just doesn't seem like they play by the rules anymore. But,
you know, there's five Navy SEALs, retired Navy SEALs, that are running for Congress this next time. And I'm just thrilled with that. And they formed a kind of a group, kind of a Navy SEAL group. They're running from whatever areas they're in. And man, just to have those people that have learned how to deal with all kinds of situations and people that have learned how to work as a team. How great would that be to have in Congress? So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to the day that we can get Nancy Pelosi out of there. I think her time is done. I think she's mentally she's not present anymore. She's so out of touch with the American people and what we need and what we think and how we live. She's so out of touch that her usefulness there to us as American people, it's not just no usefulness, it's damaging to America, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Truly. And I'm wondering, I was reading the memo and looking at, all the comments about it, but one of my concerns is, obviously it really makes me angry that I could be arrested for not wearing a mask, or that someone that I elected who is vaccinated and is representing me in the House is going to be removed from the influence that I elected him or her to invoke, right? That they're going to remove him from his job or her from her job, right? And that I will not be represented because my vaccinated elected official is not wearing a mask. The other thing that I'm really upset about is, so if our Capitol Police spend their time and energy and resources arresting people who do not have a mask, is that going to distract them from actually doing their job to protect our Capitol from terrorists, from real terrorists, from real threats?
Absolutely. Now, the chief of police of LA County, who just recently put back on a mask mandate, was very quick to come out and say, "I ain't enforcing it." They've sliced his budget. They've taken right. Away. Got a crazy DA out here that was put into office by Soros, that he no more hit the pavement, that the people of LA said, oops. And they started getting signatures to recall him. Everybody's recall happy out here in California now because we're getting rid of Newsom. Yay! September the 14th, everybody who can vote in California, and even if you can't.
Exactly. Well,
come out. Get rid of this guy. Oh, Lord. So, people are just, I think they're done. I think people are they're just done. There's too much. I heard there's something went viral on Twitter the other day in San Diego, where all the beautiful people live. He was a dreadlock young man, surfer dude, went down to the city hall meeting and said, pointed to the people up at the microphones and said, you all are lying to us because these statistics that you're giving us are not accurate in the COVID-related hospitalizations and deaths and fatalities. And he had some statistics and he called him out. And the video went viral and he's been on Fox News wearing his little cute little boy, with his bow tie and everything. So he looks like a Democrat. You would think that he's kind of the young, counterculture, dude on the street. And, these people aren't idiots. And they, you can comply, but when the people around you some ridiculous tens of thousands of people have permanently had to shutter their businesses in California. You've got people on the Democrat side, 47%, I think, are for this recall in California. Even in California, we're as blue as the sky. And
47% are for, Jean. What about the other 53%?
Well, they didn't ask them.
We've got to get this guy recalled. I want to make matters worse for you both right now. Okay. So this lady, Randy Weingarten, who's the AFT, the American Federation of Teachers president, who is just, oh my gosh, she has no business being anywhere near children or anything to do with them, I think. So now she is hedging on schools even reopening for kids now. And it was bad enough when they said that kids had to wear masks again. And right. I have so many friends who are parents of kids going back to school who say that they just absolutely don't want that for their kids, don't know that they'll send their kids back. But now we're talking about not even reopening the schools. I mean, this is, Judy, I know that you have some very strong feelings on that.
I just, the impact is going to reverberate for years, for centuries. I mean, we are weakening by doing this, by not sending our children to school for a second year in a row, okay? It's going to completely take us out of competition on the world stage. We are not going to be able to compete. Our children, the next generation of children, will not be equipped educationally to compete against China, against Russia, against Japan. We are weakening our whole country by doing this. And I'm trying to figure out what or why they would be doing this. Because
well, here's the answer. Here's the answer. Yeah. In the article I read, it said that the teachers' unions benefit from the back and forth reopening chaos because they can leverage the state of disorder to lobby for even more resources from taxpayers to return to normalcy. And that's exactly what it is. They're holding our kids hostage. Now, the schools that do go back are all the private schools who always stayed in school anyway. They're right. Going back. And they will be back to school. So maybe people ought to be thinking about where their kids are. But any school that this woman has a say over is going to be bad news come September, I think.
Okay, so I want to get this straight. So we have the Democrats, right, are really the force behind all of this, okay? And what they say, their mantra is they're for the average person. They fight for the underdog, the people who have no voice, the minorities, the poor, the elderly. That's their mantra, right? And yet, let's look at what their policies are doing to the poor and the minority children. They are saying you can't go to school. And if if we do let you go to school, you have to be masked, which is going to be, it's going to be even more difficult for you to learn. And so now you have the quote unquote, the bad guys who have money, right? They are going to send their children to private school. And so you're creating an even bigger chasm, an even bigger disadvantage for minority children and children without resources. It's idiotic to me. If you want to call somebody a moron, let's call them a moron. Here we are.
I have a lot of faith in the mama bears all across the country because if it was a shorter period of time, I think people adapt and they make excuses and they are busy doing other things and they don't pay attention. But this has gone on for so long, especially in, and I'm really not speaking to, wonderful places like Florida and South Dakota, right? But, living in the nightmare of California, my daughter's in Illinois when it was going to college out there in Chicago. And obviously New York is just a disaster area. But these people, regardless of what their political affiliation was beforehand, have had enough. And, the last meme I saw on one of our Facebook sites that is called Reopen California Schools, which I'd like to chat about just for a second. Her thing is, I'm just a mom that refuses to co-parent with the government. And right. I mean, totally sums it up, doesn't it? It's like, get out of my family, get out of, my kids' education. So we have I just did an event a little while ago at my Republican Women's Club, a lot of different organizations that have to do with education from a national standpoint. A gentleman out here that is going to put on the ballot in California school choice, and a parent that started a Facebook site called Reopen California Schools. And what he was able to do with this Facebook page was galvanizing to parents up and down the state because he allowed the information flow from local school board families mm-hmm. to share information on the lawsuits that they were filing in real time, so people could see what the arguments were, what was winning in these local courts. And it spread like wildfire to such an extent that we actually have Newsom now pushing off these, a lot of these decisions to the local school boards, because obviously it's a political hot potato for him. So because he has no spine, he's just pushed this back on the local communities, which is causing quite a ruckus if you watch some of these town halls. But parents are showing up and they're right. not putting up with this anymore. And people have been, especially conservatives, asleep at the wheel, right. not involved in local politics. Right. Our school boards are full of you know, left wing. This isn't your grandparents' Democrat Party anymore.
No.
And the younger the people are, the more extreme their cases are. And they're accepting all of this, the new curriculums that we've talked about in the past, as well as these types of mandates. And they've gotten away with it. And they keep getting voted in, or they do backroom deals. We're dealing with something here in my little Caneo Valley where somebody's leaving, one of the people are leaving town, and they're trying to keep it from the public so they can get somebody in there that so they can appoint the person instead of putting it to a vote. So the underhanded nature of not only the unions, but the mentality that's bled all the way down to the school boards is extremely detrimental to the future of education as a whole, and certainly this whole generation that's been affected by COVID. And people are, the public school system is bleeding, hemorrhaging to homeschooling and private schools for those that can afford it. And I think that the if we can get this thing on the ballot, you have the money that's allocated, instead of it going to the school, it goes to the child. And though you get kind of like a 529 account or a, you know how they put through these health accounts where you could put money in a health account and it can, you can invest it or whatever the requirements are there, but you can pull that money out and specifically use it for healthcare throughout your life. So it's the same type of a thing where the government would say, okay, Johnny, Janie, and Joey all get, you know, whatever, 10 grand when they're five and they start school. And you get that every however often, 2, 5, 3 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you pull that money out and you use it wherever you want in regards to allowable expenses for education, similar to a 529. And it puts the power back into the student and back into that ability. It makes public schools fight for you as a customer. Mm-hmm. And you have to start showing and towing the line. And it's going to blow the teachers' unions right out of the water.
This is fantastic. When does this go up for, you know, vote?
Well, hopefully the idea is to get it on the ballot in 2022.
Okay.
And they're making inroads, and it really, I can't underscore enough the fact that this guy that came and spoke to my group and runs this Facebook page, this is a father who had just had enough. And he went on Facebook and started saying, gosh, you know, we got to get organized. This is ridiculous. We can't have these kids, you know, masked up and not in school and watching all these horrible statistics just increase all around us, from drug addiction and overdoses and suicides. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And he started to do something about it. And the need was so great that people just flocked and spread the word. And it got out there from up and down all of California. And in real time, these people were helping each other. And hey, I've got this court case, and how can I plead this? And attorneys were jumping in and saying, I'll help you out for free. And it was a beautiful thing. And, you know, and it's still a beautiful thing. It's happening. It's happening. And Newsom
We need in California, you need to break that teachers union there. And, you know, Arnie couldn't do it when he was governor. And actually, they broke him, I think. But right. I think that we get a strong governor in California there, and somebody that can fight against them and what they've become, because they have become like a huge monster. Instead of being a help to the students and the parents, they have become their own entity. And now they want to run things and determine that they're going to take teaching from what should be what what we as parents think teaching should be. Teach my children how to read, write, arithmetic, teach them civics, teach them history. Mm-hmm. Those are the things I want from schools, especially for the younger students. Instead, they are taking over my parenting role and they're deciding to teach them about sex ed, which I don't want them to do. They are deciding to teach them about religions, which I don't want them to do, how to hate people of different colors, which I don't want them to do. And, you know, this is too far. And I have a really good friend who works out there in California in the school districts, and she cannot speak up right now, but she will be speaking up at some point and exposing a lot of the absolute corruption that is are in these school districts. It's just something that parents need to understand and become very, very involved with what their children are being taught. And if it does not match with your family values, you have to do something else with mm-hmm. those kids. And unfortunately, to Judy's point about how this hurts lower income families and even middle class families anymore, is that a lot of them can't afford private school, so they can't just take their kids out. So therefore they have to put up with this. So, but they don't have to if they become very, very vocal. So yeah, there's a lot going on with the schools all over the country that is not good. And this is why when we have school board elections and we literally have a 2% turnout for them, because they are generally in off times, they're not generally on the same ballot as your president is, people don't show up for them. And if they do vote, they either vote, of course, they're not supposed to be party lines, but sometimes there are, sometimes there aren't. But you generally, if you do any research, you can figure out what the person's agenda is, and you need to do that. And you need to figure out and ask questions of them and go to their talks and figure out what it is that they believe in. Because if they believe in critical race, you don't want to vote them in. But if you're just voting because you like somebody's name or you're not voting at all, this is why these people get on these school boards, because we are not voting for them.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more, Linda. Everybody, and you said something really, really critical there. Everybody, regardless of no kids, kids, whatever, because of your property taxes, still paying this bill. Everybody should go to one school board meeting and just see what goes down. Just one. Just go to one. And then go have a drink afterwards, because you're going to leave. But I know several teachers out here, and I've had Rebecca Friedrich, who wrote Standing Against Goliath. She was instrumental in getting the lawsuit where teachers don't have to pay, it's not mandated dues to the unions. And that was a huge case. And of course, it was difficult to get that understood down to the actual teachers level, because they feel beholden and they're afraid. The teachers that I speak to are actually, they will stand up for me from a stamp, like a human resources department. And there has been many cases where they've had advocates for that type of kind of red tape and tenure issues and getting your credits for your pension and, you know, paperwork type of stuff, because the teachers, you know, whatever, can't spend time doing that type of a thing. Right. But the big picture is that they are, you know, taking money out of their paycheck to underwrite supporting the Democrat Party. And the problem with the electorate who is preaching the party line of the unions is because of the money that they're getting from them. And so these candidates, they have to find other sources, because they are a huge support to the Democrat Party. And if you can somehow, campaign donation reform, whatever it takes mm-hmm. to cut off that flow of cash, it completely nullifies the argument, because you can't have these flows of money going in and expect these candidates to not be beholden to them for getting them into office.
So what you're saying is, you know, to the average listener, okay, that we need to put like campaign finance laws in place, or pass a bill that says that the unions can't can't support financially any political candidate. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, yes. Contribution reform is, I don't know a lot of the detail about. Clearly, those lists are public, so it's you can find those lists to see who's accepting money from these donors, and it, you can see clearly what it is. The Democrats do it all the time to find out who the conservative companies are, who they're throwing that list around all the time to try to boycott companies because. So we need to, you know, man our tool belt and go back at it the same type of a way. But the other half of this is that the teachers themselves, they need to understand that they are not beholden to the unions. They cannot have that money because that's where they're getting the money from to then turn around and give to the politicians. So you got, if you cut it off at the source, it's getting the money from the teachers' paychecks. Right. So if the teachers understand that they don't have to fund the unions and that they're safe because they have some other outlet. Maybe there we need to have a new industry for human resources for teachers that is non-political group that just helps them with their paperwork or something, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing something out.
There are those type of organizations and that can absolutely be done. I know that my husband has worked with people like that in the law enforcement industry. So that absolutely can be done and it should be done. And I think that there was a law passed a while back, and you may have already said that you know, if these unions, whatever union they are, continue to give, say, all of their donations to the Democratic Party, the people in those unions can opt out because they don't have to have their money going in that direction. I personally don't think that they should be able to donate to anybody, the unions, using people's money that don't have a say in how it is spent. I don't think that they should be able to, but no, they're not doing us any favors. And then we have this lady who's in charge of the unions, the American Federation of Teachers, who, you know, she is as radical and as progressive and as left-wing as they come. And there is something about this that it just smells wrong to me. This is not about the health of the teachers and not about the health of the kids. This is a control issue that is extremely disturbing to me. And our children need to be in school. It is critical for their development, both socially and educationally and mentally. It's also critical for the parents to be able to have an opportunity to get back to work if they've had to stay home and care for their kids. This is just going to be a very big hit on America if she prevents our children from going back to school.
Well, follow the line here, ladies. We've got, so the Biden administration is throwing trillions, billions and billions, as Carl Sagan used to say, of all of this money to keep people from going back to work, right? Everybody understands now. I got people in human resources. I've got construction. Can't get anybody. The guys all want to get paid cash, so they don't. They can still get their
unemployment.
Their unemployment checks. So it's rampant out there, right? Government's paying people to not go back to work, which means that somebody has to stay home with the kids, which means that it's this whole circle of entitlement that keeps people dependent on the government. And all the while breaking down the connect of parents' control over what the kids are learning, and being self-reliant, and becoming more and more dependent on these entitlement programs.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutloud.com.
AmericaOutloud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. liberty, and justice for all.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy, and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. So go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for a 20% off your first order of any HealthyCell product. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Thanks for listening. You can tune in to Ladies of Liberty Sound Off weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at AmericaOutloud.com.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty. I'd like to introduce our host today. With us today, we have Judy Moran. Judy has been absent for a little bit because she's been busy moving across the country. So she moved from Michigan to Scottsdale, Arizona. And Judy, I think you're loving it, right?
I am adoring it. I'm so happy to be here with like-minded people.
Good. Well, and Judy is Director of Client Relations at the 12-Week Year. If you have not read that book, The 12-Week Year, written by her husband, Brian Moran, it is amazing. It will change your life. And if you have any questions about it, you get a hold of Judy at the 12-Week Year. And we also have Jean Llewellyn, who is with us, who is the Vice President of Programming for the Republican Women's Federated in Westlake Village, California. And Jean has lots of other things she does. She actually does things for money instead of just volunteering. And she owns some business. She's extremely entrepreneurial. Love having her with us on the show because she just has such a great amount of input. And I am Linda Martinelli. I am here in Texas, and I am the host of Talking While Married right here on America Out Loud every weeknight, 8 p.m., along with my husband, Dr. Ron Martinelli. So hopefully you can listen to us there. And I also am a business owner and entrepreneur. So that's the three of us. And I want to talk about Rebecca Kofler with you ladies, because she appeared on television recently, and she also wrote an article, which was entitled USSR 2.0, My Adopted U.S. Homeland is Giving Me Flashbacks to the Russia I Fled. If this article doesn't make us think, nothing will. She talks about her experience being born and raised in a totalitarian state, and being very familiar with the government spying on ordinary citizens. And, you know, we recently had some information about the NSA spying on, say, Tucker Carlson, getting into his phone calls, his emails, his texts, all those things. She says that that was everyday occurrences back when she lived in Russia. And in Russia, they assumed that this was going to be the case, but in America, it's not what you assume. So what she's seeing now in America, that the same kinds of things are happening that happened to her when she lived in Russia, the Russia that she left, that she escaped from, where any criticisms of her government could result in being expelled from school or fired from your job. We're seeing those things now here in America. So that's what her article is about. And some of the things that she says that she cherishes most, well, the thing she cherished most was freedom. Freedom was absolutely why she came to America. And she says so clearly that only someone who has experienced the absence of freedom can truly appreciate and understand the meaning of the word. I couldn't agree more. And I think that a lot of the people in our country, as they have been raised in our new school systems and not learning about what the horrors have been for people in the world from socialism, Nazism, Marxism, communism, they don't understand what they're dealing with. And when I see our students in interviews saying how America is a bad place and we are doing all these things wrong in the world, they have no idea what wrong is. They just have no idea. They're regurgitating what they're being told by professors. And it's very frustrating. And you take a woman like Rebecca Kofler, who knows exactly what she's dealing with, who appreciates the freedom that she has, and she's afraid now of losing it. She says in her article that she has soaked in freedom as much as she possibly could, and she taught her American-born children the meaning, and now she's noticing disturbing developments, and she's worried now about what she says and who she says it to. Ladies, let's talk about this.
I think that it's frightening from the standpoint of I feel so much for these people, and the we all have friends and know people that have either have escaped or emigrated from some of these countries over the years, and newer stories yet of people from Korea telling their coming out and telling their story. And it really is, Linda, a problem of knowledge. You don't understand the experience of the absence of freedom if you've never had it taken away from you. It's the only thing that I can. It's like when you're going through immigration, when you're traveling. You're in that space. You literally, you have no, or when the FBI comes banging on your door, you're stripped of all of your rights, and you're beholden to whoever the forces that's around you, that's trying to control your behavior or whatever it is you're doing. And the people that have come from this background, it's not just, it's everything. It's having the electricity turned on consistently. It's getting medical treatments in a, because the socialist broken system comes down to all of the food, bread on the shelves. It affects everything. And first and foremost, it affects your ability to speak out against it and organize yourselves to fight the oligarchy or the totalitarian regime, not having any guns to be able to do it. So I think it is it's the absence of it that this generation and the generation almost before it really now has never had that. It's been small population has gone off to war. Our veterans certainly know what it's like. They've seen, they've seen the people living in the third world. But not many people do take the mission anymore to go to a third world country and build an orphanage because of the kids don't have shoes to wear and stuff. So the religious organizations that are doing that, I think, are at the forefront of keeping that alive and with the youth. But that's a minority. It's not a majority. So I'm a big advocate. They did this in Germany back in the day. Instead of going straight into college or community college, the kids take a year and they have to go do mission. Right?
Love that.
They do community service internationally, organized and safe. You know, let the Catholics run it. They do a damn good job of doing it. Right. And they go. They do. They build. They dig wells. They build orphanages. They you know, work on the coffee plantation or whatever it is to instill in them. I mean, think of what that would do to a young person coming out of school these days to just be awakened to that, and then come home and kiss the ground when they arrive.
Absolutely, I think that. We as a family, we encourage our whole family, all of our children, to do mission work, to go on mission, and to other countries and to third world countries, to make a difference globally, as well as to understand all the gifts that they've been given and that we don't necessarily deserve. Okay. Like, we're not entitled to all of these gifts. And that's a big, to me, that's the key, entitlement. And I think about the younger generation and how I get into conversations with my daughter's friends and my nieces and my nephews, and how their opinion is that why not socialism? Why not? Why can't every single person, isn't every single person entitled to free healthcare, to food, to shelter, to, to transportation? Isn't every, regardless of whether they earn it or not? And it's very interesting because as I read through Rebecca Kofler's article, it takes me back to my granny Rose came from the Ukraine. She escaped from the Ukraine and came to the U.S. And I remember her saying, you know, she was so loving, her big thing was secrets. Come here, I tell you secret. Come here, and. So I always say, you know, we were raised on great helpings of love, guilt, and secrets. Okay. But I get and understand, you know, reading Rebecca's article and talking about how they had to have secret conversations constantly, how they were always, they just assumed that they were being recorded or spied on their phones, that they couldn't speak freely, in society, even just like in their own apartment buildings, everything, every true feeling and true opinion that you had to be kept secret. And now it's really, I can see that happening here. For sure.
Well, it is. And you know what she says in her article further, because there's so much, even though it's not a long article, there's so much information. She's saying that, she's concerned about our tech, who now, with the Biden administration's efforts to censor private speech and to censor people, and the administration's working with, say, Facebook and people to take things down that we say that they don't like, that gives her a big concern. It reminds her of what happened when she was in the USSR. She mm-hmm. also tells her children, don't believe everything you see on TV, don't trust everything your teachers say, and don't talk to random people about your family's views. She said her mother used to tell her the same thing. The thing that really concerns her, that also concerns me, is these promises of free stuff. And that's what we're hearing from our government all the time. All of these proposals that the Biden administration has now, with all these trillions of dollars that they want to get passed through, under the false names of, say, infrastructure, of which that bill is only 7% infrastructure. The other 93% is giveaways to people. Those are things that she says that she urges ordinary Americans to consider what they will give up in return for those free things, because nothing's free. Under socialism, everything is provided by the government, free or nearly free. But the cruel joke for her is that nothing was free because nothing was available. So it's free, but it's not available. They stood in line in Russia to get basics of everything. They had no sanitary or toilet products. They just had shortages of everything. And when there were things to be had, who got them? The elite got them. And these are the same things that when you take a society and you destroy the middle class and you have the elite oligarchs and you have the lower class, the unwashed masses, who do you think is going to get everything? I mean, we are being extremely naive. We want these free colleges. We want free this. We want free that. Free healthcare. Your governor there, Jean, in California just gave, at your expense in California, free healthcare to elderly illegal people in your state.
They've been given healthcare for free for a decade almost since Jerry Brown it started. But no, it's you're absolutely spot on with this. And you mentioned something interesting when you were talking, Judy, about your kids and stuff. And I have a 21 and a 23. And my nieces and nephews, we sit around the dining room table and talk about this stuff. I love to stay connected with them. Mm-hmm. They're very hard workers and they're doing very well. They actually came from Arizona to California and they just bought a house out here. They're doing very, very well, though I think they paid way too much for it, but that's another
story. Everybody is. But,
you know what I mean? I was like, all right, you got to do what you got to do. But so when you were raised with the Kardashians, and multi-million-dollar lotto winners and, you know, all these roll the dice and they get catapulted into, you know, the whole Hollywood thing. Let's make it to be a star. Rappers coming out of Compton that turn into wearing, you know, all kinds of money and everything. And it's kind of the luck of the draw type of a thing, but it is also very alienating for all of the people that aren't this 1% of 1% who make it. And they're watching this stuff. They're watching the lifestyle of the Kardashians on TV. And what does it, you know, you get, you're jealous, you get envious. It's like, and the feeling of helplessness of, I'm never going to be able to achieve that.
Right.
You know, I'm not smart enough. I'm not whatever, white enough, if you're going to go down that path. Right.
Right.
But have, you know what I mean? It's 1% of 1% doesn't have to be, it's not race driven by any, especially out here in California. So these kids are left with this thing, like they got to try to scramble to get whatever they can to seed their nest, to be able to just buy the next a pair of sneakers or whatever that costs $8 million. So, so it's a feeling of hopelessness that they have to have somewhere in their character, they have to have the metal to be able to go out there and say, I can do this by working hard and going for my passions in the work that I love to do and living a happy, satisfying life with, you know, what is the saying? Want what you have and not what you, what's the saying, right? Well, you don't covet things that you can't possibly get happy with what you have. And so they've lost that a little bit. And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, the lack of religion and the lack of the golden rule in schools and all of this stuff is kind of slowly eroded on it. And so, yeah, these kids are going to line up and put their hands out for free. Absolutely. Sure. Because, you know, slinging pizzas or whatever for minimum wage is a long road to hoe if they weren't in the AP track and all of that. So when I hear stuff about them trying to pull that away from certain majority groups don't have AP classes, it's like, I mean, it comes out of that mentality. Let's lower the bar down so everybody's down on a lower level, as opposed to let's lift up the boat, right? And it's sad. It's just sad. It's like a through the looking glass kind of mentality. And I just want to slap these people.
I do too, because my question is, hey, do you think China or Japan is lowering the bar for their students?
Oh, right. Well, exactly.
Not at all.
No, no, they're not. Absolutely not.
You know, and the thing with this, this woman that she points out so succinctly is that when the ruling class promises things for free, whether it's education, healthcare, or anything else, in return, the government will control every aspect of your life, where you live, work, study, travel, or get medical care. We don't want that.
No.
We need to be very afraid of that. What does the government do right now in our country? That's great. What do they do really well? Nothing. They don't do anything really well. So yeah, why would you want to give them even more power and less power to us, the people? And that is the whole point. All of these bills for all of this money that the Biden administration is trying to get through Congress and Senate do not free us. If it's free, it's not freeing us. It's enslaving us because there's a huge price to pay. And the price that we will pay is with our freedoms. And I don't want Medicare for all. I have worked my whole life to have Medicare. And I don't want Medicare for all because I don't want to be going to the dentist and have no Novocaine. I don't want the cheapened care where I have to wait like you do in Canada for a year before I can get a cancer treatment. I want to get what I have worked for and earned, and everybody else that hasn't worked for and earned it shouldn't get it. I'm sorry, but that's just my opinion. Judy, what's your thought on that?
Oh my gosh. I'm all over it. I can't even, I don't understand why it's so bad to work hard and to get what you earn. I don't understand that. Every single ecosystem, every single, animals, it's always, I hate to say it, but it's always our whole universe is the survival of the fittest. And it absolutely never, ever works when you try to make everything and everyone equal. It's the ones that can contribute to the tribe, that can contribute to the pack, can make a contribution to their environment, right? That survive and thrive. The ones who truly are sick, are cared for, or they've passed away, right? But the ones who have the ability to work and contribute and choose not to sit there and get all the free stuff. It's just, they completely ruin their tribe. They ruin their pack and they ruin society.
Well, it's sustainable. It's not a sustainable proposition, and communist and socialist regimes throughout history have proven that to us time and time again, to the horrible detriment and demise of millions and millions of people. With all of that. But the if I just kind of go back to the kids, I think what we saw as America, and I'm sad to see us so quickly lose sight of it, because we're pretty fickle as a people. Uh-huh. Donald Trump went into office, and in less than 4 years, with one arm fighting the press and everybody else, right? And the other arm really doing things, he improved the bottom line of wages went up for and higher than ever before for all the minority groups. Deregulation, giving state land that had been overreached from the federal government back to the states. All of these things he did that he got on it right away from the beginning. They're not romantic, sexy things, and most people don't really get it. So they didn't understand the value in it. But what they should have been cognizant of is that after that stuff went into effect, the economy just started booming. Like, it unleashed the potential, bringing money back in from foreign shores to get it back into America, doing things to help manufacturing regain its footing back in America. So while everybody was whining about tweets and because he called Pocahontas, right? He was right. Getting things done. The peace in the Middle East, for crying out loud. Shaking North Korea. All of these things that he did should be, there should be monuments for what he achieved in those years. And I don't care if you didn't like the way he talked or the hairdo or whatever this, what he got done was amazing in such a small amount of time that it was unheard of, right? So that's why I sit back with Biden and all this craziness and go, ah, he's barely going to get through 4 years. In 2022,
he's not gonna get through 4 years, we're going to have a President Kamala.
Very scary. No way. Like, in 2022, the Dems are out. So they're out in 2022. There's nobody in their right mind can look at what's been happening and say, oh, I'm going to vote for this. Even in 2020, we turned over, 14? There was some double digits that we turned over seats when they thought we were going to lose, right? It was only the presidency that lost the numbers. Gee, isn't that, strange? So they're losing in 2022 and they know it. And so the point is, they're going to scramble up until then to try to cram through every crazy idea that AOC ever came up with these American Jobs Plan and what are they calling the other one, the budget reconciliation bill. They're going to pull every rabbit out of the hat to try to do as much as they can, because it's over. It's over for them as a crazy extremist party. It just is not sustainable. It is not a thing that the American people are going to put up with. And the Democrat Party is not going to have a platform. They really don't anymore. You know, they're going to have to find new footing and something else to bring to the table.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.